I hate to admit it, but the truth is I'm not really sure how I feel about Stupid Kids, the play now being offered by the Richmond Triangle Players. Written in the early 90s but set in the late 80s, the play is part homage and part satire of the James Dean classic Rebel Without a Cause. There are several things that I really like about the play, but there were other times when I wanted to laugh at very inappropriate moments. While there's a great deal of humor in the play, the parts I found funny, no one else seemed to, so this short examination may appear more rambling than normal. On the plus side, Carrie McGee and Joe Winters are excellent as student outsiders John Nietzsche Crawford and Jane Kimberly Willis. Crawford has named himself after the philosopher, but spells the name phonetically so it's more accessible. It's a great line, and I hoped for even more clever turns of phrase, but both Nietzsche and Kimberly, who has named herself after her idol Patti Smith's little sister, try to write poetry and turn out pages of churning teen angst. These two outsiders find themselves tossed into juvenile holding cells after police raid a late-night rave. Are there any other kinds of raves? They encounter popular girl Judy Noonan, played by Courtney McCotter, and new to Joe McCarthy High is the James Dean-like Jim Stark, played by Alexander Gerber. I love the use of McCarthy's name as evoking of the 1950s and as one of the great villains of American history. I also love the energy of the production. This play moves with the speed of a punk rock song amped up on amphetamines. Scene changes move in the blink of an eye, and despite the multiple locations, the audience always seems to know just where they are. I have some issues with parts of the script. There is something called a tribal that appears to be some sort of teenage rite of initiation with which I am not familiar. When it becomes obvious that Stark has seriously misjudged his ability to take over the school social hierarchy, he and Noonan are forced to choose between humiliation and invisibility. Their real friends try to counsel them, but ultimately the choice is theirs to make and to endure. I would love to see what would have happened with the script if playwright John C. Russell had lived, but with his passing in his early 30s, that becomes an impossibility. Philip Malone's set is simple and effective, and Holly Sullivan's costumes fairly scream the 1980s. Becky Brooks's lights keep the pace of the play swift, and while I can't find a listing for a sound designer, the choice and placement of the music really made the play. Director Jason Campbell shows promise with the production. He has done some good work with much of the play. There are more pluses than minuses, although the script makes this a qualified approval. A couple of scenes are definitely unsettling, but it's a play that is ultimately worth checking out. For WCVE Public Radio, I'm John Porter.